Is that all you need to do?
Good morning and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the Bible's own way. And we are excited for another day of grace, even though the temperatures are like, 48, 49 degrees out there. It's damp, cold, but it's warm inside here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I know your hearts are warm with the love of Jesus Christ and what he's given us at Calvary. Got your red books, be turning to page 125. And those that are listening, many of you know this song, Jesus Paid It All. We'll sing all four this morning.
All four verses get to go to church today.
All of them get to go to church today. Choir didn't show up though. Pianist did. Sanctified and stand in front of Jesus Christ complete. Amen? You know, because sometimes we get out here and you might get a speeding ticket or something like that and have to stand in front of the judge and you're trembling. Like, oh, have mercy on me. Well, the Lord had mercy on us when he shed his blood at Calvary. And it's through that redemption plan that he has that we can say, thank you, Jesus. We're complete. We stand complete. We're washed in the blood. There's a lot of things we can say. Amen? You know, I always think about the word free. And when you take the word R out of free, what does it say? It's a fee. And a lot of people want to put a fee on your salvation. You ever notice that? They want to charge you for some things. And I loved how Apostle Paul, our apostle, to the body of Christ talked about, I'll be charged to none of you. So the thing is, this word, this gospel, when we share it, it's a free gospel. It's a gospel of grace that God himself paid for. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So it's, so leave the R in it, because R can stand for redemption, you know, and all that good stuff. So redeemed, and anyway. Good morning once again, and thank you for being here today. I see a lot of smiling faces. I see a lot of sad faces. What you said about you're alive in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So anyway, a couple things I want to share with you. On our Ohio Grace Ministries website, I'm working on the May conference. And before you know it, it's going to be coming around. And we have a new location, unless many of you haven't thought about that in a while. It's going to be down to Salt Fork Lodge. And that's the largest state park in the state of Ohio. And we have rooms reserved, or you call and book your rooms. But I think they have like 150 some rooms in that lodge, and it's a huge lodge. Have any of y'all ever been there?
Years ago.
Okay, years ago, and it's just huge.
Is it but Cambridge or where is
it? It's actually it's got a Cambridge address, but it's on US 22. I haven't come up with a theme yet. I was looking at some things this morning, but we got a conference there May. I don't even have the time. Whatever the weekend of
Memorial Day.
So that information is coming out. I know people's asking me, "Hey Ed, what do we do?" You can call the lodge and tell them about Ohio Grace Ministries, and they'll book you. They'll place you a room there. Doing a little bit different than I have in the past the Amish door is, you know, I kind of took care of the rooms as far as putting you in rooms and stuff. This time I'm like, they can do it, okay? So that I'll take care of the preacher's rooms as far as what they need and stuff. But it's gonna be a glorious time, and a lot of things to do there. You're not gonna go to the Amish area and see the things that people enjoyed over the last, 10 years or so we've been down there, 10, 11? So this will be a little different, but I think people will enjoy the things that the state park has to offer and all. So keep that in thought and prayer as we continue to put that together. Brother Walt is back in a nursing home. I talked to Barb just the other day, and he had fallen and hit his head. So the nursing home will take good care of him, but keep Barb in thought and prayer too. Donna doing okay?
Yeah, she has her operation on Wednesday, so let's really pray for her there, and she seems to be pretty upbeat about it. I mean, thank you.
Yep. Walt, you doing okay? Tom and Barb, y'all doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, you doing okay?
I am.
Maggie?
Yes.
Howard?
I'm good. Julie, has sleep apnea. She has to go in now for a second thing to be fitted for that. And she doesn't sleep at night. She just doesn't get the deep sleep that you need. I can get a couple hours of deep sleep, but she doesn't. She's thankful she gets 30 minutes.
Wow.
And then tired a lot, so, you know, it's not good.
Grandbaby's doing okay?
Yeah. They're good. That's her joy when they call on the Skype.
Yeah.
You know, you get to see them. But, and then also a couple families that we can pray for. Just connected with Heritage, where I used to work. The Albertsons, their daughter passed away, has four daughters. She was a homeschool mom at 44. And then a Spitali family, two kids. He passed away 52, just within 1 week, this past week. So it's been rough on some family. A lot of families are hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of losses. And it's why we're thankful we're in Christ.
Amen.
Because our hope is in heaven, and for me to live as Christ and die as gain, but we all are not charging to get there. But,
true.
So.
Jacob, you doing okay? Leon, you doing okay?
If you could put my sister Susie on that prayer list, she's fell and hurt her hip, and she's at stat care this morning, just trying to check it out. She's a little stubborn, so it's been a week.
Overall, is your mom doing pretty pretty good.
Mom's doing well, actually. She's still struggling with breathing, and she was supposed to see a pulmonologist last week, and he canceled. And it's indefinite as to when he'll be back. So I have no idea what's going on. So she went back to her primary care physician, and she's new. Her doctor retired this year, but she said she really likes her, and she gave her an asthma inhaler to get. She said, you need to use this. If you can't breathe, you need help breathing until this pulmonologist can see you. So that's the only thing that's really getting her, is just not being able to breathe when she has to walk a distance. And they said it's not her heart, so they're not sure what it is.
She's a dear saint.
She sure is, and a strong woman. I tell her all the time how strong she is.
Well, hopefully her youngest daughter will follow her in her footsteps as she gets older. I keep her young adults in thought and prayer. Keep her ministrations out there, the government. I know election days and things coming up, and people starting to vote. And also, I like to say vote early and vote often, but I don't think that, I don't think that's a good thing to say. But anyway, just keep the witnessing that I'm hearing you guys do as I talk to you. Praise God, hallelujah. I mean, that's what it takes, to go talk to people. And I know many of you are talking to people, and you never know, one of these days it may click and say, wow, Tom gave me that brochure, you know, and that makes sense, you know, and start. So anyway, just keep them in thought and prayer. I lift you guys up daily in that situation, because I know that sometimes it can be hard. You know, like I know one guy used to come here, he would beat himself up, that he didn't have nobody to talk to, you know, and he said, my wife won't listen to me, and you know, all that stuff. I'm like, that's okay. There's somebody out there, you know. There's somebody, you know, I always say, I was the ignorant one. Nobody gave up on me, that type of thing. So just remember, God's word don't come back void, does it? You know, it goes out, you know, and it serves its purpose, and that's all we can do. And you know, I just thank you for thankful the ones are here. And there was something else I was going to ask you guys to lift up. Some of the employers out there that's having struggle to keep their businesses open. Yeah. You know, they're wanting to get back and do the things, and people just don't want to work. So so just keep that in thought and prayer. The times that they have to adjust, you know, you may want to go to a drive-through at 12 o'clock where they're not going to be open 12 o'clock no more, that type of thing. So just keep them in thought and prayer, because they're struggling. I go to the gym with several owners that owns their own businesses, and they're like, it's rough, you know, and even in the managing positions that's out there and all. So with that being said, keep Erica in thought and prayer. Erica's getting ready to change career fields. She's going into management MIT training, same company Sherry's working for. So she's going to be going down to Florida in December 1st, and it's like a 6-month training. So she'll spend 3 months in Florida and 3 months with Sherry, her mom. Nice. Imagine that. But anyway, there's some positions open there, and you know, they're offering her some places. So just keep that. I don't know if that's public knowledge yet or public information until tomorrow. But anyway, if you are listening out there, just lift them up in prayer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's got an opportunity to go to either New York or Georgia, that type of thing. So a lot of opportunities out there. If you want to work, there's no ifs, ands, buts. You can't find nothing to do. And I'm looking at a lot of people that's 60, 70 years old. They're serving me again. You know, in these places, and you can't, you know, you when you go to her and you see somebody old as your mom, you kind of respect them a little more than when they tell you you're not going to get that today. You just say, okay, Mom, thank you. Just give me what you want. Just give me what I can have. But anyway, we can talk about that all day long, but we'll get through this. We are in a dark winter, and if you know the four turning, the four cycles, the four turnings, we'll describe what where we're in today, and things are changing, and the America that we knew or known, it's changing too. So, but one thing that don't change in the dispensation of grace is a message of grace.
Amen.
And despite of all the things that we heard, prayer requests, praise items, that there is a message out there that gives people hope. Mm-hmm. And it's not watered down, it's not fluffed up, a big pillow type of fluffing. It's something, it's a fact. And if you want to fact check this, fact check the gospel of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, you can take that to the court system and it will uphold in the courts. Okay? That's a fact, what this Bible is. So let's go to word and prayer. Father, once again, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. As we think about the Albertsons and the Spitalis and Susie and Donna and many of our youth and our government and our politicians and just the way things are going today, Lord, it does seem like every time you turn on the TV or the news, there's just miserable, miserable, miserable. But the thing is, if you flip that and understand that we know who the God of this world is, we know who the Prince of Power is, but we also know who you are, and that you're, even in royal exile, is still Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for this message of grace that we can understand and be able to glean to and stand and withstand in these evil days. And Lord, as we think about the message today, that we continue to grow as we learn through the Bible, fundamentals of dispensationalism, that it may be able to start resonating in our soul, that we'll be able to take that and grow even more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're in the book of Acts, and we left off last lesson, 23, and we talked about how, who wrote the book of Acts? Let's open up Luke. Who wrote the book of Luke? Acts, right? The guy named Acts wrote. Now Luke wrote that. And the comparison, the comparisons between those are very, very unique, because we talked about sequels, didn't we? When you have a book and you have a movie and you want to make a sequel. Now some movies should never had a sequel to. You ever notice that? Like, it's so disappointing. You know, why, who is this guy popped up in here? He wasn't in the first one, that type of thing. But as Luke, was comparing how Luke wrote the book of Luke and how Acts takes it to another step. And when Luke wrote Acts, he went back into Luke to describe the things that's going on. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that makes more sense than anything I ever heard in the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts, everything's brand new. You know, everything's starting out brand new. It's Acts 1, you know, stage, exit right. We're coming on the stage in Acts chapter 1. So the book, what does Acts mean? What does Acts stand for? Acts of the Apostles. So it's moving. It's going to be acting. It's going to be carrying on. So we compared some things last week about Luke 24, and takes the story down to Luke chapter, Acts chapter 1. Go to Luke chapter 23 and get Acts, and back book of Acts. Let me slow down a little bit. Luke chapter 23. And we looked at the first 12 verses, and the Acts goes back and picks up that story in Luke chapter 24. Okay, that's what we left off last week. And when you start the book of Acts, you start it by reaching back into Luke's gospel account of the earthly ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. Now, was in the book of Acts, as you know, I'm going to close this up for a second or two. This is a timeline of the Bible, okay? And I always like to say, you ever seen them commercials back in the 70s and early 80s? And it talked about drug abuse, and it had a frying pan, and it said, this is your brain,
yeah,
and this is your brain on drugs, and it's frying the egg up. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the Bible in the prophetic program, and this is your Bible in the mystery program, but this is your whole Bible to understand. So you can understand the whole Bible. So when you say, I don't say this is your brain, Bible on drugs, or that's not what I'm saying is, but if you got the content of what they were sharing is, something's sizzling, something's frying your brain, and it's the drugs, okay? In this situation, what should be enlightening your brain? What should be encouraging to study? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, okay? But so when you think about Luke's going back in the book of Acts and going back in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ and bringing it forth to continue something, not to start anything new. And many of us might have thought when you get in the book of Acts, it is something brand new. Something, because Christ has died, was buried, and rose again. So at that point, a lot of people says, it's new. But I beg to differ. Luke is making it clear that in the first 12 verses of Acts, that the book of Acts is a continuation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that John the Baptist had a message. And I love to share this with people, because from Malachi to Matthew, how many years is that?
400.
Of silence. For the Lord did not speak audibly for 400 years. Did he speak audibly for 400 years and while he was in Egypt? They had a book of Job down there. They knew that something's going to happen. They're looking for a redeemer. But did God speak to Israel while they was in captivity?
No.
So when you think about those time periods, it shouldn't be something, oh, wow. But it does make me think, oh, wow, when he talks about 400 years of silence between Malachi to Matthew, and all of a sudden, who pops up on the scene?
John the Baptist.
Okay. Dressed like a rabbi and his holy and holies, right? He was dressed in something that they didn't know what he was, but should they have known? Didn't Isaiah talk about one crying in the wilderness? Mm-hmm. So they should know him. And what message did this man have to preach?
Kingdom.
Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, okay? Mm-hmm. The kingdom is at hand. He gets his head cut off. Lord Jesus Christ, while John is in prison, Lord Jesus Christ said, he basically said, there's not no greater man ever was born, John Baptist. Wouldn't you love to have that said about you today? I mean, honestly, wouldn't you? I would. But the thing is, Jesus Christ picked up that same message. He did not change it. Okay? He didn't add to it. He said, repent. Be baptized for remission of sin. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They killed him. They crucified him. Before he taught the 12 about a grace message that he had it hid in himself long before the world began, right? You know that's not to be true. They taught the same message. Repent. Be baptized for remission of sin. And they started a little flock. Now, that's why it's very, very important to know that the book of Acts, when you start the book of Acts, it's carrying the ministry of Jesus Christ, that he carried that little flock. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, and by the way, only the King James Bible has the word Calvary in it.
Okay.
So if you use another versions and you sing Mercy, Grace, and Grace Calvary. Was created at
Calvary.
I can't say it because I don't know where it is in the Bible. You can say Calvary, but what I'm saying is only in the King James Bible is the word Calvary is there. And it says there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand, on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. and they parted his raiment and cast lot. Now this verse is a very, 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 very important verse. Well, all of them very important, but this is a very important verse right there, because the standard of teaching is that at the cross, the nation Israel was set aside. You what I'm about to share, many of you might have believed that or know that they're being taught. When he died at the cross, Lotham says the nation Israel was set aside. And because they rejection of Christ, God set them aside, never to deal with them again, and turned from them and went to the Gentiles. Okay? That's what a lot of people teach. At the cross, a lot of things happen. So now we're Gentiles. We're part of this program up here. Now, this timeline, as you visual look at it, has anything changed?
No.
Okay? That's why it's very, very important to know your Bible, to get the big picture of your Bible and all. So why then didn't God set them aside because of the crucifixion? When he said, Father, forgive them, why didn't the whole thing set aside and all this? Why was that something different? Why at the crucifixion the dispensation of grace didn't start? Many of you know that, so you know, don't answer it out loud. But the answer is that the verse right there says, while Jesus Christ is hanging on that cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they know what? What they do. That's very, very important. Because I believe there's ignorance and there's willfully ignorance. You can be ignorant of something, and used to be when you call somebody ignorant, them was fighting words. What'd you say to me? Don't you say it? And ignorant just mean not knowing. I'm like, whoa, there's a lot of things. And when I talk to people, you know, many of you know I'm working on a boat, okay? Have no knowledge of the boat. My wife's probably thinking, I wish you didn't even start that project. But anyway, the thing about ignorance. And when I talk to people, first thing I tell them is that I'm very ignorant on what I'm about to say, so just bear with me. That changes the whole outlook on when they talk, how they talk to you. Because, you know, sometimes service people can be very abrupt, you know, like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm ignorant on a lot of things, you know, and I'm wanting to learn. That's when you come to the Word of God and the things that we're studying out, many of us are ignorant. It's okay. It's okay. I'm still ignorant in a lot of things, you know. But there's a willfully ignore. When you willfully ignore those things, you know, I think health reasons or whatever, when you willfully, what can be the outcome to it? Can be very dangerous. And knowing that you know, but yet you willfully ignore it, is not too good, is it? You know, in a lot of situations. So the leaders of Israel knew that they was crucifying the one who claimed to be Israel's king. They looked at him and said, if you be king, what? Come down from there. And they knew he was claimed to be their king, and they taunted him. And they knew that he claimed to be Israel's Messiah, didn't they? They didn't like that. Listen, anytime that you start pointing out what's right, okay, and standing for something right, there's people not going to like that. There's people just going to just eat you up and spit you out. I think a lot of politicians that way, right? A lot of politicians know maybe some of them's done wrong, and it's best for them to come up and stand up and say, I've done wrong, forgive me, from this point on, I'm going to move the right direction. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, America's a very forgiving country. You know that? We can be very forgiving. You know, we can forgive. Some of us don't forget, but you know what I mean? But you can forgive. And the thing is, they knew, they said, if you be Christ, what? Save yourself. Mm-hmm. And if that's who you say you are, come on down and demonstrate who you say you are. Now, who requires signs?
Jews. Jews.
If he did that, you think they still believe?
No.
Some of them may, but some of them's like, nah, show me something else. You know, we was talking about the other day about those the first two signs of the nation Israel. You know what they were? Okay.
Leprosy.
What is it?
The snake and the stick and leprosy in the hand.
Yes, yeah, the hand withered, and the baby hand. The staff goes down, turns into snakes. But what did the magicians do? What did the Pharaohs do? They duplicated, but what did Moses' staff do? And if you ever notice, there was two of them and one of them. And it's always seemed like two against one, two against one. And that's when I share the thing about the Word of God in the garden. Okay? You had Satan, you had God, and you had Adam and Eve, right? Eve. What did Satan introduce into mankind? We talk about all the time.
Human viewpoint.
And that human viewpoint, in your own human mind, you can say, I deny God, I deny Satan. But you still have that human viewpoint. So when they created that human viewpoint, you had Satan's word, you had your word, and then you had God's word. There's two against one again. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it's always almost like a battle, you know, flesh. You know, you got your mind. It's all that type of thing, that battle there. So they're like, come and demonstrate yourself. But what I'm trying to say is, even if he came down and demonstrated himself, chances are they still would find something more wrong with him. Say, okay, you say you do that, but you say you can do this. Where's the kingdom at? You say you can build this temple back up. There's going to always be something. They knew that he claimed to be the Son of God. They said, you say you're the Son of God in Matthew 27. And when he said, I am, what did they do? Blaspheme. Because who is, was it Moses that said, who should I say that you are?
Yeah, I am
that I am. I am. And what did Jesus say there?
I am
he. I think if I'm not correct, that's a big H there. Okay? Not just a little he. It's the I am the he. I am he. Okay? And I'm like, whoa. Now we didn't see that, but we can believe that. I believe it. They knew, okay, that he had credentials that violate who he claimed to be. They said, if he saves others, himself, he cannot say. Sure, he could know that. And so they knew that he had done the work. They knew he claimed to be the Son of God. They knew he claimed to be their Messiah. They knew he claimed to be their King. They knew the one they was crucified was all that. But yet they still done it. Can you think about the people out there today? They know what's going on, yet they still do it. There's people sitting in institutions today know that this to be true, and this word dispensationally viewed is truth, but they just ignore it because somebody might have hurt their feelings one day, or don't go along with what grandma taught, you know what I mean? Or don't go along with church talk. I believe what that man taught me versus what God taught me. That's when you're going to have to stand, guys, because you know what? You can't drag me to the beamer seat. Say, Ed told me this was what I needed to do. Because Ed's going to say, no, I didn't say that. You know what I mean? Trembling. God said it. And we need to believe what God said. Amen?
Amen.
And they claimed that. And they knew that the leaders understood that. It went against everything they believed, everything they was going to lose. And I'm thinking about this. If they were leaders of Israel in positions that God created that government, that world system that he loved, wouldn't it have been much better saying, you are the King. You are the Messiah. And they started doing right, wonder what God would have gave them. He would have gave them rewards. He would have probably put them in positions like the 10 talents type of things. You know what I'm saying? They wouldn't have lost. Physically, they might have lost some things. And the right to stand to say who I am, they would have probably lost some things. But think about it, the spiritual things that they could have gained. But where would you say they're at now? You think they're in heaven's glory because they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ? No, they lost it. They lost it all. But the people, the nation, were blind. The people that they was leading were blind. They needed leaders there to show them what the Word of God says and to pull the blinders off. They didn't, did they? The nation was blinded. And leaders had blinded the nation and led them in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way things go sometimes. You know that? Blind leading the blind. What's the problem with that is? They what?
Fall in the ditch.
And you watch people all the time. I watch people on this highway. They'll follow that lead vehicle. And not knowing, and the next thing you know, they're right in the construction zone tearing stuff up because they're blind. You know, it's best to look ahead. Take the exit ramp when you need it. Get off on the right highway. And so God has taken the authority from the leaders and given it to who? What do we find out right now when God, when Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Messiah, he takes that leadership from that nation of Israel and gives it to who?
A little group
of believers. And he says, in fact, that verse right there says, it is my Father's pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Now, who is that you there? You? Ye?
Israel.
The little flock. So he's forming a new nation, this new government out there. And they're going to take it, and now after the crucifixion of Christ, he ascends back into heaven. The Holy Spirit comes down on the little flock, who are now to be the leaders of that nation. Now, they are the leaders of that nation, and in the first book of Acts, this is what they're going to do. But what do you think the leaders, the fake news leaders, the fake leaders, what do you think they thought about that group of people? You think they're going to join hands with them?
No.
Or you think they're going to stand there and beat their chest and say, go after them and have letters and threatening letters to shut that news system down? That don't sound familiar, does it? Listen, everything that's going on today has been going on through the world throughout the history. So nothing should surprise us who's running the system out there from day one. Nothing should surprise us. But what you know what I believe what happens is, when you start affecting them, when they start losing and have to stand in bread lines, when they start losing their authority, guess what happens? Maybe someone starts seeing truth and their eyes open up like, whoa, this has changed. We need to get in this little flock over here. We need to be safe. Not we, I'm talking about this time period over there. And the people of Israel are going to be given a renewed opportunity of repentance. And that's what the book of Acts is about. They're going to start getting a renewed, because what had happened here? They lost it all. The nation of Israel did. They're blinded. Now all of a sudden God's going to be forming a new group of leadership, a new government for this kingdom over here. And guess what? You need people in that. Okay, you need people to follow that. You want people to be saved. I believe God's will to have all men to be saved in any dispensation. Okay? Mm-hmm. He had a program for any dispensation for anybody to get saved. And if you look in Acts chapter 3, go to Acts chapter 3. We were talking about this earlier. Who wrote the book of Acts?
Luke.
Go to Acts chapter 3. You'll see Peter explain that very thing. Acts chapter 3. Verse 12. When Peter saw it, now what did he see? I'm glad you asked that question.
What was previously talked about?
What he previously talked about. What did he previously talk about? Let's go back to verse 1. I want to share this with you. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. What time of day is that? Ninth hour.
Right. And
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay. He's going up to pray, not there. And a certain man, lame, from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask to be saved.
No.
To ask to be baptized.
No.
Ask to join the church. Ask to be dipped in the River Jordan 7 times.
Money.
Ask to be. Ask for what?
Money.
Alms.
Money.
Okay, money. Of them that enter the temple. So he's a beggar, right? Mm-hmm. Who's seeing that Peter and John about to go into the temple, asks to be saved.
No.
You know, he's asking what?
Money.
For money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What was that something, guys? What's
money.
Expecting what?
Money.
What he's asking for. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles, bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that he was one, it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, that's a good held, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's hugging them. He's holding them. Thank you. You know what I mean? All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, that's what he saw, right? He saw the people coming together because of the lame man. He answered unto the people. Notice he is talking to who? The people. Now, who's those people?
Israel.
That's the body of Christ today. That's everybody in these churches today.
Israel.
You should underline this. Ye men of Israel. That's who he's talking to. And that's what made Sherry and I's mind make up when these dispensationalists years and years and years and years, 20-some years ago, come to us and was showing us these things. Who is he talking to?
Jews.
Okay. And we took it into the little church that we was at. In the Bible, in the Sunday school, the adult Sunday schools was going to the book of Acts, and we was reading this, and I'd go like this. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? I said, is he talking to Israel? And they're like, yeah, and kept reading like it was no difference. Now, how many of you did that in the past?
Yeah.
Okay? There's a difference right here, because who's he talking to? That's the thing we're talking about, this transition, what's taking place. Something ain't new here. Remember we talked about a couple lessons ago? It was Israel only in the ministry of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now it's going to be what? Israel first must be fed. Not anybody else. Then he says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he determined to let him go. Oh, that wasn't a good thing to say, was it? Oh, you would. Wait a minute. I was going to listen. Now you pointing fingers at me? He said, But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted upon you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through the faith in his name, and paying alms, and church membership, and everything you can do, made this man strong.
Wrong.
What does it say? Through faith in his name, made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wroth that through what?
Ignorance.
Ye did it as did also your rulers. Now, a couple things I want to point out here right quick. What did the man ask for at the gate?
Alms.
Okay. What did he have faith in?
Get that money.
To be healed. He didn't ask to be healed.
He didn't have
no faith in the name of Jesus Christ. But Peter says in the name of, what did he say? In the name of Jesus Christ, and now to rise up and walk. And then he says right here, through the faith in his name had made this man whole. So it's not the miracle worker. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's not the guy. It's, at that time, the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful today? The things we go through, the hospitals that's being overwhelmed, and stuff like that, in the name. You know people does that. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. You know that's where they get this from. But what did the man have faith in?
He didn't have faith in that.
And that's what I say. They healed him without faith. And we're going to see some things down here, and like, whoa, what's changed here? Because you, when Jesus Christ prayed, this is the gist of it. And by the way, through ignorance ye did this. Something's changing right there. Father, forgive them, when Jesus prayed, for they know not what they do. What God did literally, he changed the indictment. We talked about this in the past. He changed the indictment of a murder to manslaughter. He changed to manslaughter. And if you know the law, you know if someone's committed murder, premeditated murder, there's no remedy for that. Capital punishment. A lot of people don't like that, do they? There's corporate punishment, and then there's capital punishment. Don't the Bible talk about eye for an eye? You know, that type of thing. But if a man, through ignorance, caused the death of another person, we call it manslaughter. And in Israel's program, they were cities of refuge. You know how many cities there were?
Only six.
Only six. You know how many cities Israel had? 48. So each tribe had four cities. If you divide 12 into 48, equals what? Take your shoes off. They had four cities, but I did that without taking my shoes off. But look, six of them, Golan, Ramoth, Bozer, was on the east side of the Jordan, and Kadesh, Shechem, and Hebron was on the west side. So he had three on each side of that Jordan. Now, I keep thinking about this. I don't know if y'all do, but I do. When you're looking at the world through the windshield, you got plenty of time to think and talk, and you might not have time to talk to your spouses sometime, but in your mind you already talked to her two or three times, or them two or three times. You're like, I know some, well, but look, but sometimes I'm getting off a little bit. Sometimes, look, you think about this. How many tribes were there in the nation of Israel?
12.
Okay. Where's the promised land? Where was they at?
Israel.
Okay, that was like, let's say this is the River Jordan. Where's the promised land to them? Cross the River Jordan in the promised land, right?
A couple wanted to stay behind.
Okay, there's three tribes, Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh stayed over here. Okay? And they're like, hey, when they come to Joshua now, they're like, hey, we did everything we're supposed to do. And Joshua said, fight, go to the promised land, fight. And what had happened is they asked for their inheritance, and Moses gave their inheritance before they crossed into the promised land. And everybody wants to go to the promised land, right? Everybody wanted to cross the Jordan. But these three tribes did.
Yeah.
So they went across that river and fought those satanic strongholds of Satan. And after they were finished, Joshua goes, go. And when they fulfilled their commitment, they gathered up their tribes and heading back. And you know what them other tribes started doing? Other 10, nine and a half? They're going after other gods. They're going to start worshiping other idols. You know, and they was, after fighting with them, they was going to fight their brothers and wipe them out. You know what they did? They built an altar right before they crossed back over the River Jordan, and they named it Ed, by the way. You're going to only find that in the King James Bible. But that was the witness to show that they're only going to serve the true and living God, that altar was. So they go back over here, and I'm scratching my head and thinking, what good is this when everybody's supposed to be in a problem? And all I can think about strategically, Satan's still the god of this world. You know what I'm saying? They're, even though they're in a promised land and things are going to start happening for the nation of Israel, wouldn't it be best to have some camps and some allies out here somewhere? So three of those refuge cities are on this side of Jordan, and three are over here. But how do you get in those? If you killed somebody willfully, are they a place for you to hide?
Not here.
Huh?
Not in America.
Well, no, I'm talking about, let's say, back then.
And they had to convince the,
in America,
the cities that they were just guilty of manslaughter.
Well, if in America you got a good law, you'd probably get out of it anyway. But look. So Israel, on that side, and Israel, that those men could flee to, if you did it manslaughter by mistake or accident, you went to those cities. And guess who couldn't follow you?
Your enemy.
Relatives looking for blood.
The avenger of the blood could not come and destroy them. So if you did things not, you know, manslaughter, let's just put it easy. As long as they stayed in that city refuge, the avenger of blood could not kill them. That's almost like a prison.
Stayed there till the high priest died. Why?
And the Antichrist in the tribulation, you know what who he is? The avenger of blood. And he's going to come after those Israelites, and he's going to come after them, and he wanted to be destroyed by one who's coming to get them, and the avenger of one against the blood in the land there. And they couldn't. And the only way that this group of Israelites can get out of that being accused of killing the Antichrist, don't he get shot?
Don't he
get stabbed? Yeah, that type of thing. That's why them pictures, one eye and hand. The Antichrist is there. That's why God said, pluck the eye out, then you plug it out. There's going to be signs and things that points at him thinking he's the Christ. But they better know this book. And the only way this little people out here can escape the avenger of blood is to get in that little flock. That's why they're talking about here, tribulation's coming. The wrath of Peter, John saying, who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? They're going to pour out on them over here like they never seen anything in their life. We have nothing poured out on us today compared to what's going to happen over there. And as long as it's in there, they can't. The little flock flee, as it were, to the refuge that's provided in them in Christ. He is the refuge. Who's your refuge?
Jesus Christ.
I believe he's a refuge from past, present. Isaiah chapter 8 says, He is our sanctuary, a refuge place for them. He is forever sanctuary. And that's the way the book of Acts starts out. The book of Acts starts out, the judgment is postponed. A new opportunity is granted for repentance for the nation of Israel. So you can probably start to see why people would say something's new starting in the book of Acts. Because something's changed a little bit, like, whoa. The book of Acts is literally the Deuteronomy of the New Testament. How many's heard that? And the fifth book of the Old Testament is what? What's the fifth book of the Old Testament? What we call the Old Testament?
Deuteronomy.
Okay, Deuteronomy. And the fifth book of the New Testament is what? The book of Acts. The book of Deuteronomy was a book of the second law. Do you know that that's when Joshua, Moses and them gave the second giving of the law there? Do you know that everybody 20 years and older died off? And you know what they had to do to those guys? Circumcised, because they didn't circumcise. So they had to circumcise them 20-year-olds and start circumcising down. So they're giving a second giving of that law, and the book of Deuteronomy was literally giving the law a second time to the nation Israel before they went into the land, as if as though it was their second chance. We give people second chances, don't we? Sometimes we give them third, fourth, fifth, sixth. Sometimes we just keep rolling dice. So Deuteronomy is a book of second chances. They get the law given back to them. Because you know what I don't want to repeat myself. Everybody didn't go in that land that left Israel. They died off. They got killed off and stuff like that. So the ones that went in this land 20 years, there's something brand new to them. They don't know nothing about all this law. And all of a sudden, boom, it's given to them. Now, the book of Acts is the book of second chances for the nation Israel. Is it already 11 o'clock? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Let me share this a little bit more. Let's get through this part. When the book of Acts does what the book of Acts does, it gives a renewed opportunity of repentance to Israel, and it demonstrates Israel's negative response to it. That's what it does. And they don't just reject Christ in his incarnation, they reject the resurrected witness that is given to the little flock. And God, by their continued rebellion and rejection of Christ, sets them aside. And that's what we're looking at in the book of Acts. I thought I'd get through all this because there's some, we got next week, right? Next lesson. But I know I ain't been preaching that long. Let's go on just a little more. What the book of Acts does and what its purpose in your Bible, it's not a pattern for us to follow in the dispensation of grace. Now, a lot of dispensations people out there will try to use the book of Acts as their doctrine, book of doctrine. You can't do that. I always look at it as a shifting sand. It's a transitional book. How can you put something stable and stand on something that's doing this? It's hard. But rather, the book of Acts shows the renewed opportunity given to Israel and the rejection of it. God's reasoning for setting Israel aside and sending salvation to the Gentiles apart from Israel. And up to this time right here, everything is still with Israel. You cannot get to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob without going through Israel. And so rather that they being a history book, the book of Acts starts around 33 AD and ends 30-some years later. Of the founding of the church, the body of Christ, the history of the body of Christ, expansion throughout the earth, what the book of Acts does, it's the explanation of God's reasoning of setting Israel aside. I don't know if you ever thought about that. There's a lot of Israel terminology in the book of Acts. You know, and you're like, okay, what's going on? Where's the body of Christ at? Where's the Roman church? Where's, you can find out when they was established, but it's explaining what is happening to Israel. And that's what we're doing right now. And when you see the renewed offer of the kingdom given to Israel, a renewed offer of repentance, an offer of the kingdom given, Israel's later rejection of the offer, God setting them aside, sending salvation through the Gentiles through the ministry of Paul, you'll see what God said he did and will is doing. So as you open up this chart, and we're just right here, by the way, in this lesson. But the book of Acts explains the fall of Israel, the diminishing Israel, and finally, the postponement of Israel. That's what you need to see in the book of Acts. And when you do that and you get over at the end of the book of Acts, you'll see why Apostle Paul is among those Gentiles, all the Gentile churches being established with no relationship to Israel. That's very, very important, guys, because there's churches out there today is putting their relationship with Israel. That's error. Now, can you be friends with somebody?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm going to close right here, but something you think about. You ever see a symbolism? I know you've seen that coexist stuff, okay? You know, all these symbols. But you have a cross. What's that mean to us? Would you say that's a sort of symbol of Christianity?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a cross right there, Christianity. Then you have an upside down cross, or not upside down cross, but what they call a Star of David.
Michael.
Okay,
no.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see them together. What has that got to do with together? If this group of people right here is rejecting your Lord and Savior today. You ever think about that? I do. And I believe that star is what the Bible talks about. Stephen talks about a star of Moloch. And it's not good.
You count all those points, you come to 6, 6, and 6. Three sets of 6 points.
But the thing is, wouldn't a burning bush be better?
Yeah.
If you think about it, like, whoa, God spoke to Moses in a burning bush. That would be a flame. But what I'm getting at, what has those two got together right now? We've been taught
Judeo-Christianity.
That's what we're built on. Well, if they're rejecting Jesus Christ through John the Baptist, if they rejected Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ, if they're going to reject Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit of Stephen, and we want to see some things about their falling, I hope you understand that today they're all in unbelief. So that symbol, if we're going to use a symbol of a fish, a cross, or something, then you got to be watch how you who you stand with. And I'll share this with you. I've had several brothers over the past in the ministry that's turned on this ministry. Not us personally, but no longer preaches this or preaches different things, and people still following them. And what I do, I watch them, and they could have been friends of mine. I just unfriend them because they're over here dabbling in this over here, right? And here lately, I've had several phone calls, several emails, several texts saying I was wrong. I followed this person over here, and I realized it was wrong. Will you forgive me? Now, can I forgive them? Because they really didn't hurt me. They was hurting themselves in the ministry. That's why it's very, very important to know when you stand for something, okay, you better guard that, because it's so easy to let stuff in, or had let stuff in. You better let it out. You better open that door and say, get out of here. And I watched them, I say, I haven't responded to them yet. Because I can friend them back and watch them, okay? and watch them and watch them and watch them. And if they ask for guidance, I'll be there to help them. You know, so it's very, very important to understand that when you see what we're talking about, and that there's no relationship with the nation Israel, and you scratch your head and ask, what in the world's going on here? What in the world, when we get over this point, what in the world is the fact that it was with Israel, and now it's without Israel? Would that be still true today? That's what I'm asking you. You know, think about that. What benefit it is today that there's a nation that wasn't supposed to be reckoned with the nations, and seeing what they do to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not just one nation, all nations. There's a lot of nations out there hate your God, you know that? Mm-hmm. But they'll promote their God. And I said this, many of us got Facebook. And I know many of you thinking, Lord, I wish I didn't have no Facebook. Anyway, I don't know if you look at that Facebook, you're looking at your home. If you go down, there's a section called Reels that people's making these little video clips and doing all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the stuff, if you clicked on them, some of them's, you know, funny or whatever. Some of them's filth. Hmm. Literally. It's okay to post that on there. You with me? But you say something against something else, or you promote this, and we play music at the beginning of our... You know they mute our music on Facebook? Hmm. That music, that Christian music right there, saying copyrighted laws, that they listed 99 countries that song couldn't be played in, that we've sung.
And we have really some old ones that copyright.
Cherry suggested that I look at the copyrights and just say, you know, I can post it on there, we're not infringing on copyright laws. But these old gospel hymns that's been singing for 200-300 years, some countries don't want that in there. And then videos, YouTube videos and stuff, they go out, when you public them, they go out in the world. Hmm. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things you give us. And as we think about our status in the dispensation of grace, and our status in the fact that you have changed the program, and we're thankful for that. And as we think about the closing or as we look at the book of Acts and the fundamentals of dispensationalism, there's so much we can glean from, and maybe not even thought about, that may think, whoa, there's some decisions I need to make. And Lord, those who are listening today, if you never made that constant decision that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again for your sins, please do that so today, because there's no guarantee for tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you once again for those who are tuning in. Visit our website, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org, and our YouTube channel and our Facebook page and all the good stuff that you can see us. Hey, come and see us personally if you're in the area. We'd love to see you. Right, saints?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Till next week.